You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za.
This DIY feature is proudly sponsored by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge with pleasure.
I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge with pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulolo Drive, Sunnydale.
It's 10:30 and time for the DIY feature with our sponsor, Mark Chabet from Paintsmith Midas Earth, Long Beach. Good morning, Mark. Good morning. And I believe I believe you've got a guest this morning.
I have. Partner in crime. Have Dale.
Hello, Dale. Welcome to Zone Radio, the voice of the valley.
Morning. Thank you.
I must just add, Sue, that if there's anything to know about paint,
He's the man.
He's my go-to man. Go-to guy.
All right.
And so we're going to talk very general today. We're going to jump backwards and forwards. In the last couple of months, we've seen a lot of changes in painting habits. We're very fortunate that the last two or three months, and I think Dale, as my supplier of product, will attest, the paint sales have gone through the roof. Don't you admit?
That is
in fact, you guys are struggling to keep up with demand at the moment.
We'll keep that off the record, yes.
So, yeah, it's the month of spreading love, good cheer, good fortune, and all the rest of it, but it's also the month of spreading paint. November and December have been absolutely chaotic when it comes to paint and to painting, but we've unfortunately seen a couple of hiccups here and there. People are starting to get their bonuses. They're starting to go on leave. And Granny and Grandpa are moving down from Gauteng.
The silly season has arrived.
And they need to paint their bedrooms. They need to paint the lounge. They need to prepare for Christmas for their guests. And unfortunately, a lot of this gets done in a hurry. And unfortunately, when you're spending 10, 15, 20,000 rand on paint, you've got to make sure your prep is correct. Your walls are correct. Dale and I were chatting a little bit earlier. We've had the rainiest season, and we tend to forget it because it was two or three months back. But we've had the wettest season in Cape Town, Dale, 30 years, 35 years? You keep track of it, eh?
30 years now, based on looking at the rain forecast from the Southern Cape all the way up to the Western Cape.
And that causes problems, huge problems. But let's start. We're going to talk generally. I've made a couple of crib notes. Home preparation. I've decided, Dale, I'm going to paint my house. Granny's moving down. I want to give the lick of paint on the outside. And bearing in mind, most of the listeners listening now are within 4-5 kilometers of the coast. So we're a coastal town. We're very, very different to Gauteng, the Orange Free State, in how we prep our walls. Salt on your walls, major issue. I want you to go through quickly with me prepping exterior walls before we paint. What must I look out for?
Mark, so I think the first thing you'd look out is your waterproofing issues. So if there are any cracks in your walls, parapets not waterproof properly, first resolve those issues. Sort the waterproofing out first before you start doing any prepping for painting. And once you have sorted out your waterproofing, repaired your cracks, then you'll come into washing down the building. You need to remove any of the mineral salts that are sitting on your surface, especially being next to the coast.
You mentioned parapet walls. Our biggest problem is parapet walls not being sealed. And that is the easiest way that you're going to get water ingress into your walls is through your parapet walls.
Well, that's correct, especially a flat parapet wall on the top. You will find that you drive around anywhere in the town, you'll see your paint starts failing there because of the waterproofing detail that's not been done correctly.
I see a lot of contractors, what they're doing now is their parapet walls are not flat. In fact, it slants outwards. And it doesn't have to be a whole heap. It's got to be an inch or two on the one side, but at least your water's going to drain off your parapet walls.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so high-pressure hose, critical. You've got salt and salt crystals on your walls.
That's correct. So you ensure you remove all the salts, and then depending on it being a redeck, if you've got the repairs, you need to correctly prime those repaired areas using obviously the correct repair material in those cracks.
Let's talk about that in a little bit of detail without going too deep. I've got a crack. It's half a mil wide, a mil wide. I've now opened it up. I've created a V, and now I'm going to fill it. So I fill it with an exterior polyfiller. What do I do then?
So just going back to the exterior polyfiller, it's fine to use an exterior polyfiller. However, we would recommend something that's got a more of a fiber in it, so that you've got more, let's say, you can go thicker without any shrinkage cracking. And then once you've done that, ensure that that's dried properly, because often what will happen is the repair will be done and it looks dry and they immediately prime over it. Now you're sealing in the moisture in that repair
medium. And you're back to where you were.
You're exactly back to where you were, correct, yes.
Okay. And that's got to be primed.
It has to be primed. You've got to stop the mineral salts moving out through your plaster, because that's, bear in mind, we've had a very wet season, so there's a lot of water in that wall.
And it wants to come out. Water dynamics, the sun wants to suck that out.
Especially on your north facing, when the sun beats on that, it's going to migrate through, and it's going to want to come out.
Going back to moisture, that's probably the biggest paint failure that any paint product can have, and that's due to moisture. With the rains that we've had, you've got moisture in your walls, etc. You've got to ensure that it's out. And we always say, go and have a look. Use a moisture meter. Go and check the walls. However, moisture meters. If you go down to your local hardware store and you buy yourself a 300 Rand moisture meter with the little metal prongs on it, that is not what we're looking for. All that moisture meter is going to do is measure the moisture content on the paint surface, literally. It's not going to measure the moisture within the wall. You do get moisture meters that can read into the wall up to a depth of, correct me if I'm wrong, 2 or 3 centimeters.
We work on about 20 mils, so it can get through your plastered surface to your brickwork, depending on if it's a cavity wall or non-cavity wall. So you want to measure to your brick based on your plaster thickness.
So in other words, go and spend an extra 300 or 400 Rand, go and buy a moisture meter that can read into your walls.
That's correct.
Because that's where your moisture is going to be. Moisture content of your wall, 12%, round about there?
12% is the normal average. You're generally not going to get much below that. And if you can get to 12%, then you can go ahead and start your priming.
When do warning lights come up if my moisture content is over what?
15, I think, would be max to allow for, but 12 is ideal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So moisture, guys, and with that wet season, a lot of homeowners have come into our store particularly and said, we've had dry weather for the last month. My house is dry. I want to paint. It's not necessarily dry yet. A really wet wall, and I've seen moisture content, and so have you, 50, 60% in some walls. It's literally more water than wall. And that's going to take months to dry out. What would you suggest if you have a really wet wall? Leave it. Leave it until after Christmas. Don't redecorate. Are you with me on that one?
100%. I know a lot of people, they're redecking during winter, which, you know, firstly is a problem, because we don't, especially in Cape Town and the Southern Cape area, we don't get a lot of dry days. The right way would be to wait for summer, open up the cracks, let that all dry out first before you start doing any repairs. Yes, it doesn't look very aesthetically pleasing on the
outside. Christmas?
For Christmas. However, if you've had, we would say, anything between 3 weeks, 4 weeks, that should have dried out enough. And in saying that, that's why you are around. Yeah, you can come out for the client.
100%.
And do a moisture test. Say, yes, go ahead, without just getting the painter just to start.
Yeah. Right, we've cleaned the walls, we've done our preparation, we've filled up cracks, we've primed where we filled up, we're now ready to paint. Painting is not just a question of putting a coat of colored liquid over the top. I had a customer in yesterday who bought 2 5-liters of product in color, different batches from the same supplier. My recommendation is there, if you've got 2 5-liters and you need your 10 liters, stick that paint into a big 20-liter bucket, mix the paint together. In other words, I think you guys call it boxing.
That's correct.
Mix the paint together so you're going to get a uniform color and then put them back in their tins. That's going to stop you from getting slight color variations And we do get it. Unfortunately, from batch to batch, we do get variations within the product. Drop sheets, couple of tools that you're going to need. Drop sheets, important. Plastic drop sheets, or you get cotton drop sheets, you get super soakers. My preference there is you use a cotton or super soaker drop sheet. And the reason being, you use a plastic drop sheet, you walk on that paint, and the next thing you're walking that paint through someone's home or your own home, on correct. Your carpets, on yes. your tiles. Drop sheets are critical. While you're at it, a couple of critical things. Cornices. Have a look at your cornices. If you've got gaps in your cornices, what do we fill it with? We've got to fill it with something, make it neat. Painter's Mate, that's a brand name. There's various silicons that are out there. But take this opportunity to fill in those little cracks. Fill in those little gaps, because you can have a beautiful ceiling, a beautiful wall, but you've got these tiny little black cracks, black seams, which look pretty ugly. That's on painted surfaces, but I've now built, and I've got a bare brick wall, and I'll go and get my paint, and I'm confused. Masonry primer, plaster primer, what do I use? What's the difference between the two of them?
Yeah, so Mark, that's very interesting. We've been doing a lot of tests, especially with paint-related issues that have been happening now, seeing a lot of alkali burn in the paint, even though it could be a year old. So we've actually gone as far as going to the brick manufacturers, where you've got your clay, ROKs, and pulling out from the brick yards the bricks, and we're going to be sending them away for testing, because we're finding out before the bricks have even been laid or they've actually started building, those bricks sitting on pallets on site are already going white. So those bricks have got a lot of mineral salts in them. So does your plaster work, your cement plaster, that's also got mineral salts in it. So you're actually starting off on the back foot, if you want to put it that way, with a lot of mineral salts in your substrate. So in the old, let's say a couple of decades ago, there was masonry primer. That was the main primer that was majority sold, because it was the correct primer. Then it all became about price. So price, the primers then changed in time. They became ARP primer, which is just alkali resisting primer, and then they've now moved to plaster primers. We've done a lot of testing on different plaster primers, and we found, funny enough, a lot of it actually contains a lot of water. Now, the way to cheapen your primer is to add more water. Yes, there are additives that they put in to allow water to be able to emulsify with these solvent-based products and be compatible. But that's the only way to actually cheapen your primer, is by adding more and more water. And in some cases, up to 40% water we picked up. So going back, it's all about your primer. Bear in mind, because that is what is going to stop the mineral salts migrating through to your paint coating, which is going to cause premature paint failure. So the best primer is masonry primer, because that is going to give you your most alkali resistance. And funny enough, just looking at doing some calculations on the different primers out there, the difference between your cheap plaster primer and your masonry primer is only about 350 to 4 rand a square meter.
Absolutely nothing on the bigger scheme of things when you're putting 20,000 rands worth of top coat on top of it.
And that's correct. So everybody looks at the price per drum, right? But take that drum and divide it by 160 squares or whatever it is you get on a drum and work it out per square meter. It's minuscule, but you are now destroying your lifespan expectancy by not putting on the correct primer.
So you put on a really good masonry primer. And we've chatted about this, and Sue, it's an interesting thing, and I want the listeners to think about it. You're spending 20,000 rand on a beautiful top coat, our range of 240 paints, our range of 230 paints, which is top of the range, but you're putting on a cheap plaster primer or masonry primer at the bottom. Dale's just mentioned now that a lot of the primers out there, not our primers, but other primers, contain a large amount of water. Your top coat is going to fail. And it's going to fail because of your primer. In fact, I would go as far as to say put the best primer on you can possibly afford. And if money's tight, put a cheaper product on. And if it means you've got to paint every 3 or 4 years, then so be it. But it doesn't help putting an expensive top coat on a cheap primer. You're throwing good money after bad. And to fix a problem like that is very expensive.
That's correct, yeah. So a lot of people will say, I'm happy to paint every 4 years. And that's fine by putting on a lower quality paint that's not as UV stable. But regardless of what paint you put on, if you don't put the correct prime on with the correct, we call it alkali resistance per square meter in the dry film thickness. If there's not enough there, it's not going to work. So, and if you drive around, and especially where you see the alkali attack happening on your paint film.
That's actually very interesting. We've driven around a couple of times in gated villages and up and down streets in the area, and you can see immediately what houses have got a decent primer on and what homes haven't got a decent primer on, because it shows up in your top coat.
That is correct, yeah, in conjunction with the correct waterproofing practices that have been put in place.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we've got our paint, we're going to paint. A couple of small little tricks you've got to remember when you're painting. Always keep a wet edge.
Correct.
And always start in the corner. again, I was at a site 2 or 3 weeks back, and the couple had hired a painter off the side of the road. I can't remember. His name was Joyous or something to that effect. But he started painting in the middle of the room. And his idea was he would start in the middle of the room and then work towards the corners. I persuaded him not to go that route. He ignored it. And I got a call the next day to come and have a look at what had happened. And paint corner to corner. End of story.
Correct, yeah.
Mask up your skirting boards, put your drop sheets down, and when you are painting a wall, don't stop. Don't go outside and go and have your cup of coffee or take your telephone calls, etc. Carry on painting from corner to corner. The problem is going to come in where your paint dries on your wall, your overlap, you haven't got a wet edge, and you're going to see that mark very, very clearly going down the wall.
Correct. Yeah, other factors to maybe look at also, you know, the doors that are open, wind flow blowing through the room, very hot day. So, you know, just try and mitigate those factors so that you can just allow the paint to be have a wet edge as long as possible.
You go and have a look at a 20 liter of a drum of paint. I'm going out on a ledge here, but I would say 80% of that is water, 70%, 80% is water. So you got 14, 15 liters of water or liquid in that paint. If you keep your windows and doors closed, I always equate it to a kettle. If you put a kettle on the stove and you boil it, it's going to take a long time to boil that water out of the kettle. It's got to evaporate. Mm. And it's the same with your water-based paints. You stick it on the wall. You need airflow over that to get rid of that water.
So that's what you do after the painting. Obviously, once you've applied with minimum airflow, and then you open up the windows.
Open up the windows and let it dry. And
otherwise, the air in the room will be saturated.
Correct.
And it won't dry.
Correct. A very interesting, you talk of saturated. We spoke a couple of weeks back about moisture in rooms, and a gas heater creates moisture. So a lot of people say, we painted a room, it's cold, it's the middle of winter, we put a gas heater on in our lounge to dry the paint faster. Mm. And all you've in fact done is you've created more moisture, and that paint's going to take longer to dry. Open your windows, open your doors, and in fact, probably within 2 or 3 hours, that paint is going to be, it's not going to be cured, but it's most definitely going to be dry.
That is correct. Yeah, Mark, just going back also, when you were talking about the essentials for painting, we're finding more and more, based on the market going more greener, so let's call it nasties have been taken out the paint, which made the paint last a lot longer. And what we're finding is standard practices, people are painting out of the drum.
Paint hygiene.
Yes.
We've spoken about this twice.
So I'd like to reiterate that, please, because by making the paints more environmentally friendly, which is one of my main sales points, is that it won't last as long. So if you're going to paint out of the bucket, every time you put the roller back in the bucket from the wall, you're now contaminating it again, and it's only got so many fights. So what we suggest is that rather take the paint out the drum that you're going to use, and then that paint, do not pour back in the bucket when
critical,
it's left.
Critical.
Because that's all been contaminated, and you're just throwing it back in, especially now when you finish painting and you're only going to carry on in January, February, especially with contractors who shut down on the 15th. Well, thanks to the government, the 14th. But, yeah, so that paint, even though you've taken it out the drum and you're painting from it, don't pour it back into your existing drum. Just close that lid and use that first when you're going to start painting again.
You open that drum in January or February, rotten eggs.
I'm sure it's going to be, but at least you've now not contaminated the rest of your,
correct,
your paint.
Yes. We've spoken about, in fact, I think we had two sessions on paint hygiene. And the advantage with that is a lot of customers came into the shop who had heard the discussion, and they had paint failures. They had buckets of paint in their garage. They'd taken out 5 or 6 liters out of a 20-liter drum. We're going to paint in 2 weeks' time. Close the drum in a hot garage. Now you have bacteria in your paint, and you've got cellulose in your paint, so your bacteria is living off your cellulose. It's nice and warm, mm-hmm, being in the garage, and it thrives.
Correct. Yeah.
It absolutely. So, yeah, use it or lose it.
Yeah, and we did find that out, especially February, early this year, January, February, all the contractors coming back, and we got calls saying, you know, this stuff's not lasting. So, you know, yes, you've taken out all the nasties, but there are now other requirements needed to make sure that paint lasts.
In the old days, lead used to keep your paint fresh, in inverted commas.
Mercury, lead. Yeah.
But I'm always fascinated. As kids, Sue, you also had a cot that was painted in lead that you chewed on, and you turned out all right. I turned out all right, chewing on the lead paint and the lead building blocks that we had, and we were all right. But yeah, lead is a baddie. Another tip for the homeowner that's out there: if you're painting and the ladies love their colors, and each room has got a different hue. It might be a darker gray or a lighter gray, and the outside of the house is a different color, and they store this product. Another tip: when you store it, if your drum is less than 80% in volume, so in other words, if you've got a 20-liter drum and you've taken 5 liters out of it, you're getting close to, you got a little bit too much air in that. Decant that drum. Put it into something smaller so that there's less air in it. And then another tip is to put a label on top of that drum. In other words, your label's going to have your date, today's date on. You're starting to paint today. Today's date, this is the color, and it's the lounge. Because now you sit with 5 or 6 drums of paint in your garage, and while it's been standing, a light gray and a dark gray, when you open those tins, they look exactly the same. You've got a liquid floating on the top, and you're not quite sure, is this the lounge, is this the dining room, or it's the bedroom? And the only way you're going to find out is after you've rolled it onto the wall and you realize it's the wrong one. Mm-hmm. So put a sticker on the top, date that you purchased the paint, when you paint it, if necessary, what room it belongs to.
Just bear in mind also, Mark, we also have we sell the liquid, the antibacterial, antifungicidal additives, that if you want to preserve your paint, you can add this to it just to prolong the extension. So a lot of our paints have already got it in for bathroom areas, wet areas, you know, where you get mold growth. But if the clients would like an additive, it is available at the shop.
It does, and it's a very, very big mover in our environment. I agree with you. Put it in. Mm-hmm. Your bacteria, your products, your antifungals that you put into your product have a lifespan. They can eat as much bacteria as they can. They then finish. Tummies are full, so they can't eat anymore. But if you put an antibacterial into the paint, give it a good stir, put the lid on, that paint could last months if it's stored correctly.
That is correct, yes.
Another big one, my bugbear. Every single drum of paint that you purchase at any store, whether it's been colored, whether it's off-the-shelf color, when you get home, stir it with a flat paddle. We had a couple of months back, we had a customer who was painting his own house, and he stirred his drum with a piece of rhubarb, which was rusted. He came into the shop and he had these brown patches all over his wall. And all that had happened was the rust had come off the rhubarb, mixed with his paint. He had plastered his paint onto his wall and, of course, started to rust on his wall. flat paddle, critical. You cannot stir a cup of coffee with a straw, and it's the same with a drum of paint. Use a flat paddle.
That's correct.
A broomstick is not going to cut it. Stir from the bottom, stir up. If you bought the product at our shop today and we've tinted it for you, and you're only going to be painting over the weekend, don't presume that that product is going to be the same over the weekend as what it was when you bought it. Give it a good stir. Get those products to mix properly. And that goes with colors you buy off the shelf. Stir your paint. One paint you don't stir. Drip enamel.
Correct, yes.
And that's the only one I can think of.
However, if you do stir it, just then you'll need to leave it
overnight.
You're
going to have to leave it overnight
and,
to set.
And the rheology will come back, correct, yeah. Yes.
Okay. We've had a look at, very briefly, at walls. We've had a look at ceilings. Ceilings are pretty straightforward. Let's kind of have a look at steel, painting steel. In fact, we can break it into two, steel windows and wooden windows.
1 minute.
I cringe when I think of wooden windows. And I cringe to think of the work that is involved. Sue's pressuring us. quick one, wooden windows, scrape down. Scrape, scrape, scrape. If you have cottage pane windows and you're on leave, tell your wife you're going back to the office. Your leave's cancelled because cottage panes are a pain. You're going to have to scrape it down. Get rid of paint. You are then going to have to sand your wooden windows down. If there's any bare wood, you're going to have to now prime with a wood primer and then paint over the top of it. There is no shortcut.
Correct, yes.
Steel, how do I protect steel? We've got 30 seconds.
I'm not going to be able to answer that in 30 seconds, unfortunately. Just bottom line is remove anything that's loose, any friable paints, get to a sound area, use the correct primer based on what your metal is. And once you've got your correct primer, then you can put on your top coats and gloss enamels, polyurethane.
And my staff are there. They can help you out there. Their knowledge is incredible.
Mm. I think corrosion protection is going to be a whole different topic for another time.
Another time. Okay.
Well, we can have it to be continued next
year. Yes, we can sit and talk for ages.
Yes, we can. Well, time has run out for us, and well done, and thank you. Very, very interesting. And thank you, Mark, for coming in and sharing your knowledge and expertise with us, and me as well.
Always a pleasure.
And would you share out your numbers?
Not mine. Not
I think Dale gets enough telephone calls during the day from the stores he supplies. But yes, any questions, call the shop.
Yes.
021-785-7269.
Well done.
785-7269.
You know your number. Well done.
Unlike your husband.
And many others.
Yep.
Just before we go, it's very interesting. Every time we have these kind of topics, it's so interesting to learn new things. You know, when you think you know it, and there's always something that you can take out of this book.
As the owner of a store, I learn every single day, and I learn from Dale.
There we go. Thank you, Dale.
Thank you,
Mark.
Thanks.
Have Thank a lekker afternoon.
Lekker afternoon.
Thank you.
That DIY feature was brought to you by Paint Smiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. I visit Paint Smiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paint Smiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. Paint Smiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.